The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So far the reading. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, the bread of life. This reading, this short reading that we just heard, comes right after the account of the feeding of the 5,000 in the remote area on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. The next day after that incident, some of those people who had eaten that miraculous meal came looking for Jesus. After witnessing the miracle and benefiting from it, they had concluded that this Jesus was indeed the great prophet who was to come into the world as foretold in their sacred writings of the Old Testament. Some of them intended to take Jesus by force and compel him to become their king. What a wonderful thing, they thought it would be, to have a ruler who by a simple word of blessing could make 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish into enough food to satisfy thousands. But Jesus had slipped away from them. The next day, some of those people located him at the town of Capernaum on the north side of the lake, and they were baffled because they couldn't figure out how he had gotten there. And so they came to him and they asked him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Well, Jesus knew their intentions, and he simply brushed aside their question as something trivial and confronted them very bluntly with the real problem. He said to them, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Earlier in his gospel, John had captured Jesus' understanding of human nature in these words. Jesus had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. The thoughts and intents of their minds and hearts were an open book before the gaze of the Son of God. He saw the evil things that come from within and defile a man. Listen to these words from a commentary on this 6th chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus said, "You seek me because you ate of the loaves and were filled." One commentator wrote in this way, even today the gospel finds disciples who imagine that its teaching affords nothing but gratification of the appetites, and that it brings all manner of earthly delights, and that it serves solely the wants of this temporal life. End of quotation. Sounds like these words were written in critique of many distortions of the Christian gospel message today. In fact, those words were written by Dr. Martin Luther in the year 1530. Things haven't changed much over the centuries. Human nature has been what it is since the fall into sin, and no process of evolution is going to bring about any change to that bedrock of human depravity. There is food which endures to everlasting life, the food which the Son of God gives, as Jesus says. There is a genuine Christian gospel message. But in every age, there are those who twist the Christian gospel message into something it was never intended to be. On the contemporary scene in our culture, we see this phenomenon that has been labeled by some prosperity gospel, or health and wealth gospel, or success theology, The basic message is that if you just have faith, which it turns out is synonymous with thinking and speaking positively, and if you just envision great possibilities for yourself, and by the way, give generously to certain so-called Christian ministries which promote this message, then your material well-being will improve immeasurably because God wants you to succeed. Call this 800 number right now. But wait, I'll double the offer. So blatant has this perversion of the gospel become in our time that even Wikipedia now has an entry on prosperity gospel. Check it out. The article nicely outlines the chief features of this prosperity gospel. I wasn't aware previously that some of my colleagues were writing for Wikipedia. It lays out the important buzzwords and the expressions connected with prosperity gospel. The will of God for you is personal empowerment, and you need to visualize this. Aspects of historic Christianity, of course, have to be reinterpreted just a bit. Atonement and redemption have something to do with the alleviation of poverty. Well, that entertainment genius, Phineas T. Barnum, was absolutely correct. There's a sucker born every minute. And in the realm of religion, that seems to be especially true. And the devil knows it. But our purpose here is not to be glib and flippant about bad stuff that's going on out there in the world someplace. The reality is that we all need to search our hearts and ask, why are we looking for this Jesus? Does our purpose have some similarity to the purpose of those who sought him after he had fed the 5,000 in the wilderness? Is there some craving we hope to satisfy which is similar to the craving of those who ate of the loaves and were filled? Do we search for a Jesus whom we can make into a king in some sense, who will solve our various problems for us? Dr. Luther saw this problem in his time. The gospel finds disciples who imagine that its teaching affords some kind of gratification, some answer to the wants of this temporal life. And we would be naive to consider that it is any different in our time, or that our sinful inclinations are any different from those of others. The warning, "Do not labor for the food that perishes," is intended also for us. In this Jesus, whom St. John and all the scriptures present to us, we have a Savior who clearly shows us what our spiritual problem is and how he has addressed that spiritual problem. Our sinful nature is to labor for the food that perishes. Our old Adam has an insatiable craving for the various kinds of spiritual junk food that proliferate in every age. Prosperity theology, liberation theology, New Age theology, or whatever other so-called gospel is in fashion will be enticing to our sinful inclinations. There is a real hunger and thirst for righteousness, which comes from that shocking awareness that we don't have righteousness in ourselves, and that without it we have no hope of any enduring blessedness or happiness in this world or the next. And then the Savior enters in and says, "I have the food you crave, the food which endures to everlasting life. I've prepared that food for you by a life of perfect righteousness, a sacrificial death in your place, and a resurrection and triumph over sin and death. And I give it to you freely. Eat and be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Amen.